Lord, we thank you for tonight, and it's just amazing how you're sovereign over the whole universe and taking care of elections in Israel and working in the Middle East and Europe and everywhere, and yet you care about our bills and our issues, our problems, our struggles so individually and so personally, Lord, and you say that you even hold all our tears in our bottle, and so you know everything about us. You know what we're going through. You care. You involve yourself, and we thank you, Lord, that as your children, and you our Father, that you take care of us, Lord, and you do that very well, and I thank you for all these praise reports, and may you be glorified through all of them, Lord. And as we get into the word tonight, Lord, may you open up your truth and may you ground us in your word, that we would be immovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Psalm 66, we'll pick it up there. And boy, I'll tell you, that election, if you don't know, but if you don't know about that, but they had elections in Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu was one of those running, and who many people feel that he is the one that most represents the will of the Lord, especially Christians. He's not a Christian, he's a Jew, but he understands the Bible, he understands what the Bible says about Israel, about the Middle East, all that stuff, and it didn't look like he was going to win, and our government was very implicit about him not winning, and you know, we have that flag in the other room for a reason, because the Bible says that God will bless those who bless them and curse those who curse them. And, you know, it's so important that we stand with Israel. And you know, most of Israel, they're not Christian. And the Jews, many of them hate Christians over there. Just like the Pharisees you see in the Bible, they're there now. So we support them because God still has a plan for them. But we also love the Muslims because we want to see them be saved too. And the Bible does say that many Muslims will be saved as well and be in the millennial kingdom. It talks about Egypt as a Christian nation almost, or a nation that fears the Lord and worships Jesus Christ. So God's working there too, and there's many stories of Muslims coming to faith in Jesus Christ right now. And so I really believe we're just right on the edge of something happening there. And if we look at Ezekiel 37:38, which talks about the invasion of Israel, it seems like Netanyahu would be more in line with how Israel is going to conduct itself during that invasion led by Russia and a coalition with Russia and Iran and these other countries that's going to invade Israel. So that's the thing we're looking for. We watch how that's working out. And then Psalm 83 is another big one. And then also watch Syria a lot for you Bible buffs. Syria, Damascus in the Old Testament, or in the Bible talks about Damascus being a heap of ruins. And so that's Syria. So somehow Syria is going to be desolate, which it's never been, and it will be. So somehow that's all going to work out. So keep an eye on that, because John Kerry just recently said that he's going to have to bring Assad in from Syria in this deal that he's trying to broker with Iran, which Netanyahu came and spoke to our Congress, and he said, absolutely, do not do that. And so that's a whole nother thing. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, we can talk about that later, but it's fascinating what's going on. So that brings us to Psalm 66, and with all the stuff going on in the world, it's so important to be grounded in the Word. And so I love going to the Psalms, looking at the Psalms, realizing as we read them, these are written in different times, but similar circumstances. So we can relate to these. And many of these are prophetic, which they speak about the times that we live on in now. And many are messianic, where they're psalms that point to Christ. So Psalm 66 is a psalm of praise. As we think about praise and the importance of praise, I want us to be kind of thinking about the role that praising God has in our life. As we see in the scriptures, especially going through the Psalms, we see that's an integral part of the way that they live. And it was very demonstrative, so they're very expressive in their praising of God. But I want to look at some pretty key factors in regards to prayer that we're going to bring these things out. Because sometimes we say things like, well, I don't feel it's hard to praise God right now, you know? I mean, Lilia's story there is, you know, she's praising God, and I don't know if that was easy for you or not, but I think for a lot of people, it'd be really hard to praise God when you can't pay your rent, and oh, praise you, God, you know, that kind of thing. So let's look at a little bit about what this praising God is all about. So verse 1, Psalm 66, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. So do you see how this is demonstrative? So it's a good SAT word, I guess, right? Demonstrative. It's kind of fun to say. But you'll notice that in the Psalms, there was the expression of praise, that they're really into it. You know, I mean, they were praising God in such a way where it was known what they were doing. There was an attitude about it. There was a characteristic about it that would be really obvious to those around that something really good is happening to this person. So ask yourself if those around you get a sense that there's really something really good going on in your life. So they were like, it was a joyful shout. So it wasn't just some little meek little thing. It was just like a joyful shout to God. Notice it was directed right to God. So that's where our praise is directed. And then in verse 2, it gives another expression. It says, sing out the honor of his name. So when we're talking about praise, and this chapter is not all inclusive of praise, but I'd just like to point out a couple things in regards to praise. What can we praise God for? What can you guys praise God for when you're in Arizona going through all this horrible circumstance? Well, the first thing that we can praise God for is his name. That means who he is. That means all around us could be dark and dreary and heavy and hard, but God's name, which means his character, who he is still the same. And that's really important to understand, that God is always the same. Because sometimes, and maybe in the circumstances that were brought up, it can feel like everything's changed. You know how week to week, like last week was great, so God's awesome. And then this week, the bottom falls out, so you're wondering what happened to that awesome God that was last week. Or it could even be a day-to-day thing. So it's like this schizophrenic Christianity. But that's us. That's not God. Remember, no matter what the issue, what the time, God's always the same. And we can always praise him for his consistency and for his character and for who he is, because that'll never change. So there we go. We have something solid, something established, something we can always go to the bank with, no matter what situation or circumstance. We praise his name, the name above all names. And it says in verse 2, it says, make his praise glorious. I think that's important too. You know, I was reading this, I thought, wow, That would be kind of a good mission statement for like a worship music ministry right there, that verse 1 and 2, right? And we're always, well, not always, but we're having discussions, Mike and I and some of the guys, about worship, because, you know, worship changes with the culture and the times. And so we always, you know, so we're wanting praise to always be right before the Lord. And sometimes we can think that a certain style is right or a certain way, but we've kind of come down to the fact that if we worship God in spirit and in truth, that's, we're always going to be okay. We'll always be okay. We worship Him in the spirit, and it's got to be in the truth, and we're always going to be okay. But look at what he's saying here now. As we're praising God, it matters how we're doing it. He's saying, make your praise glorious to the Lord. And again, I go back to the fact that we can do that because of who He is. And so our praise to God takes on a characteristic that it's glorious. And in order for us to give God that kind of praise, we have to see God correctly. If we see God correctly, our praise will be glorious, because that's how God is, isn't it? He is glorious. And so the glory we give to God is easy if we see Him correctly. If we see Him, if we know Him, if we understand Him, if we get His attributes, then our praise could be glorious to the Lord. So if we just stop there, we would be in pretty good shape tonight, wouldn't we? And we can leave and just praise God for who He is and give Him demonstrative outward praise and let it be glorious. And those all around us would think that we hit the lottery or something. Like, there's something really great happening in that person's life. And there is. We hit the jackpot, didn't we? When we gave our life to Jesus Christ, we hit the jackpot. It's too good to be true. It's so amazing that the one who understands it will easily give glorious heaps of praise to the Lord. So he says, say to God, I like it now because he's describing how we're to do this even more. He's saying, say to God, how awesome are your works through the greatness of your power. The second point we find here is to give praise to the Lord. We praise His name, and then we praise His works. Now, praising His works, one, we can do that in a general sense. So we can look at how God created the universe. We're going to have a solar eclipse on, what, Friday or something? Right? Yeah, I think we are. Look that up. Google it or something. But we're going to have a solar eclipse. But you look at the stars and the sky, and I don't know if you've seen the sunrise the last few mornings, but it was unbelievable, unbelievable. So we can praise Him for those things like that. But then when you start to walk with the Lord a little bit, we could start to praise Him like we did earlier. We can praise Him for the things that He does in our life. And in order for us to know the faithfulness of the Lord, you notice in these stories that we heard tonight, in order for God to show Himself faithful, don't we have to have some sort of situation that's adverse? Right? If we didn't have the backstory and we didn't know the negative part, if Lily just said, "Oh, God paid my rent this week." Oh, cool. But no, she had to praise Him. She had to be in a situation where she had to call on His name, and she couldn't do it on her own, and there is no other way, and now she can praise the Lord. And see, the thing is, God allows us to get into situations like that so that we can see that he's faithful, so that we can see that he really does intervene. And in order for us to know that, we have to get into tough spots. We have to get into spots that we are out of resources, that we can't do anything on our own, that we can't find our ring, and who knows, it's going to show up on the toaster. Those, you know, it's like, so these are these type of things that the writer and the writers in the Psalms and writer David here, we wouldn't have the richness of the Psalms if we didn't know how bad of a situation they were in. So when we understand that, we can say, how awesome are your works, knowing that God is faithful. But I also want to encourage you to know that God wasn't just faithful in the past. The past is an example of his faithfulness going forward. So you may not yet have a lot of examples of God's faithfulness in your life. So you go to the Bible and you see God's faithfulness to his people throughout all history. And don't ever make the mistake of saying that was just for them. God doesn't do that now. Take the examples of Scripture, and in the book of Romans, it says that the things written beforehand were written for our learning. They were examples for us, good and bad, but to know the faithfulness of the Lord. The greatest example of God's faithfulness ever is the nation of Israel again. This is why there is a nation of Israel. God gave a covenant to Abraham. They were there as a people miraculously. As Christians, we look at Israel and we say, that is the most incredible, amazing testimony of God's faithfulness, that he has continued to work out his plan throughout all history, and he won't be done with the Jews. If we don't believe in the Bible, we may think that those nations around Israel, one day they're going to wipe them out. If you believe in the Bible, you're not into odds. You want the odds to be against you as much as possible if you're into the Bible. You want to be like Gideon, where God says, you know, you have too many people, which is like a tenth of the people they're going to fight. So let's keep reducing that around to make it look so ridiculous that the only answer would be that it's the Lord. So we're not into odds, but if we were into odds, you'd have to say the nation of Israel. It's just a matter of time before they get wiped out. Iran's going to get nuclear weapons, and those nations are going to be. But if you know the Bible, that is not going to happen. I can stand up here today, and I am. I'll put my life on the fact that the nation of Israel won't be wiped out because of the authority of the Bible and God's name. And so we know it's going to happen, but see, we look at those things, and God says, I want to show you how faithful I am in your life too. And you may say, why does this stuff always happen to me? Right? Here's the thing. And you may look around at your friends or your family and say, that stuff never happens to them. There's a reason why, if you're a Christian, it's different if you're a Christian. It's different. So there's a reason things happen that don't seem fair. It's because God wants to show you how awesome he is. Because he wants me to have a testimony that says, you know what, this happened to me, but God is faithful. Wow, God really did that? And how do people know? It's because of your lifestyle of praise that we talked about, that people are like, is it Christmas every day for that guy? What is going on? It seems like something's going on. And it's because we're not attached to the way things look. We're not attached to the circumstances. We're attached to the name. And then we're attached to how God has worked throughout all of history, and we're attached to how God's worked in our lives individually. So the conclusion of all of that working of God is that we can say and prove and testify to the greatness of God's power. Verse 3, second part, your enemies shall submit themselves to you, and the earth shall worship you and sing praise to you. They shall sing praise to your name. Part of that is alluding to the time where God sets up his kingdom on earth. He makes everything right. There will be a time where all the earth will praise God. And now we see that as the kingdom of God resides in the heart of a Christian, that is all the reason to give God the praise. So he says in verse 4, as all the earth worships you and sings praise to you, they shall sing praises to your name. Do you see it again? That's important, right? I mean, we've seen that twice. We're just in four verses. We see the importance of God's name. I would encourage you to make a habit of saying God's name over and over again. Sometimes, you know, you don't know how to pray. You don't know, and you're in a tough spot. And just praise the name of Jesus. I just love saying Jesus. Jesus, 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 over and over again if I have to. Just the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Verse 5. He says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. I love that. Because now we see the working of God. It's the working in and through lives of people that's the testimony now, right? So as we're praising God's name and we're praising the work of God, how he works, I want you to notice here that how he works in our life will be something worthy of praise. Do you see that? So part of the praising of God is that we have a testimony of how he works in his children. That as our lives are presented to him, potter in the clay type of thing, that he works in our life in such a way where he will be praised. Verse 6, he says, he turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the river on foot. So now that's recounting God's faithfulness in the past, isn't it? Notice two things there, though. You probably picked up on how he turned the sea into dry land. So makes you think of Moses and the Red Sea, right? Is that what you're thinking? That's right. So that obviously was a huge deal in the nation of Israel. It was a big testimony that they were able to carry forward and remember that God would work. But I also want you to notice that God just, he just doesn't do one thing and say, well, that one thing then should be good for the rest of your life. He also points out how he dried up a river and they were able to go on foot. So that's probably referring to the Jordan River that was dried up so the children of Israel can go through into the promised land, right? So God doesn't, he continues to give us reasons to praise him. Not that we should live for a whole bunch of reasons to praise him, because we have the whole Bible to do that. We have all of creation to do that. And then we have the testimony of him working in and through our lives. And the longer we walk with the Lord, the bigger testimonies we have and the more examples we have of God's faithfulness. And so he says, there we will rejoice in him. So praising God is a joyful thing. Are you getting that? There's a joy, there's a singing and a shouting and a demonstration of love. It's passionate, it's powerful, it's not all, you know, mundane and dry. It's alive and full and powerful. In verse 7, it says that he rules by his power. How long? That's good to know, isn't it? That's good to know. Yeah, you might want to, I underline that in my Bible because sometimes it seems like you wonder if his reign ended or something. You know, then when the Bible was done being written, his reign is forever. The significance of that is to keep in mind that God has a big plan that's going on, and our life is just such a small speck on that whole eternal chronological time grid. Be real careful about myopic, hyper-focusing on whatever that thing is that's happening to you right now. And Satan wants us to forget that there's a whole thing going on. And like I said earlier, that if we're in that Red Sea place, remember that that's part of it. It's a snippet of that. But we have to go through that to experience the fullness of God's plan. The cool thing is that if we're in one of those tight spots, like some of you mentioned that you have been in recently, then we know God's going to do something great. If we have trust in him, we believe in his name, we have surrendered our life to him, then it's like, wow, okay, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How's this going to work out? I can't see a way this is going to work out. And God does something amazing. God moves mountains. He does miracles. And it says he does it according to his power. So he wants to do miraculous things like that. And that's part of how cool it is to praise the Lord, because we're in all of God. I think it's important to have that sense of awe of God. And he knows that too. So that's why he does things so oftentimes dramatically. He doesn't always do that like that, but he does it just enough so we can say, wow. There's a wow factor in God. And that's an important part of our praise and worship, I think. So he says in verse 7, he rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. He says, do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. So that's when we get concerned the evil's going to win out. We can really get into the flesh when we think that's going to happen and think the battle belongs to us, when the Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord God. Remember that, because, guys, evil is not going to win. Okay? Have you read the last chapter of this? We win. We win. So we're the winners. Evil will not win. No matter what it looks like now, God will rule and reign forever. So praise him. Praise him that you're on the winning side. He says in verse 8, he says, oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. So there we have our third reason. Actually, our third and fourth reason we praise the Lord. So we praise him because of his name, because of his work. And here we see we praise him because of his rule. Because ultimately, he is ruling. Not any president, not any ruler of any nation. He is the King of Kings. So he is ruling. That means that everything is going to always be within his rule. Nothing gets outside of his rule. And then the fourth thing we see is that gives us security. That we always have this anchor. Our faith is our anchor. That we are firmly rooted and planted in God. As I prayed earlier, that we are immovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 15:52, I believe. And then in Jeremiah 17:7, it talks about a tree in a time of famine, but a tree that's in the middle of dryness and barrenness, that's green and fruitful and productive and watered because it's in the Lord. And that's the security that the believer has that we praise God for, because we're anchored in God. Jesus said, if you're a doer of my word, you build your house on the rock, not the sand. That no matter what storms come our way, no matter what happens, that our life in God is anchored, secure, and nobody, no power, no thing can alter the plan of God in our life, nor uproot us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so we praise God for that. That's his security that he gives us. In verse 10, it says, "For you, O God, have tested us." See? Isn't that interesting? Who's testing? God's testing. That's the crazy thing. If you remember the book of Job we went through, that it was God who said to Satan, think about this. God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God said that to Satan. Have you considered him? I don't want God to say that to Satan about me. Sometimes I feel like he has. I don't want him to. But see, God allows us to be tested. He does. As we've been reading in the book of James, he doesn't tempt us with evil, but he allows Satan to do that. Where Satan wants to hurt us and harm us, God wants to enrich us, bless us, and grow us. What's the difference? What's the difference between Peter denying Christ three times and Judas denying Christ, betraying Christ? What's the difference? The difference is faith. Peter blew it. He repented. He continued to follow Jesus. He continued to go by faith. What did Jesus do? Or what did Judas do? Judas turned on Jesus and continued going in that direction. He didn't stop. So the faith in God is the one way how we continue in our life with God. Remember that. No matter what's going on, we keep going in faith. That always stays the same. That's always the same. When we feel like the world around us is against us and there's no hope, those things that we perceive like that, that's not reality. You know that? Because as we've seen, the reality is that nothing has changed in the plan that God has for our life. Why? Because he's faithful, right? So we keep moving on in faith. And that's what he's saying here. So in verse 10, we're looking at a chapter about praise. Think about that. In the chapter about praise, God tests us. Why? That's interesting, isn't it? Do you think perhaps that God is testing us so that our praise will be real? Because we really don't find out if our praise is real when everything always goes our way, right? We find out what's real when things don't go our way? Are we praising God for who he is, or do we praise God for things that only go our way, which that's not real? So it says, for you, O God, you have tested us, and you have refined us as silver is refined. So think about that. As we're tested and God allows testing, it's always for improvement, right? And here, that improvement, he's comparing it to silver, which means that he's getting rid of the impurities in our life. Could it be that those around you seem to have an easier time? Because God wants your faith and your praise to be pure, so you have to go through things to make that happen. Things that it just seems like, why do I always go through this? Why is it always so hard for me? Why do other people get by with stuff? And why is it so easy? It's because God cares enough about his children that he wants to bring out the goodness of him, the purity of our praise and the genuineness of our faith that would never happen unless we were tested and put through the fires. So when you are going through the fires, when you are being tested, don't waste it. Allow it to be an opportunity where you go through it by faith so those things that are impure in your life do get taken out. See, if we go through these trials and we blame God and curse God and walk away with God, and the whole time God's trying to bless us, then we've missed the opportunity. We've missed the opportunity. So he's refining us. And in verse 11, it says, you brought us into the net and you laid affliction on our back. So there's a description of what God has done. So God does that. So he brings us into a place. He puts loads on our back so that we will learn to surrender everything to him. We're not going to get to the next chapter, but the next chapter is about how God blesses us. And as we read this, we have to understand that our definition of blessing a lot of times is a lot different than God's definition of blessing. This is a blessing. A blessing that God would put us through affliction, bring us into the net, so that he would work in our life to do far greater things than anybody could ever imagine. Sometimes we think, oh, God's really blessed me. We say that when good things happen, right? Oh, that's a blessing. And that's true. But do we say when we're going through hard times, oh, this is a blessing. This is awesome. It's hard to do that, isn't it? But see, when we understand what God is doing through the circumstance, then we see, wow, God is bringing out some amazing things in my life. So he says in verse 12, he says, you, notice again, you have caused men to ride over our heads. So there's an involvement then of people that God uses other people, like in your example, to come against you. We went through fire and water, and always, we're going to end with this, but please circle this if you can. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Remember that. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're faced with, whatever your trial, whatever your circumstance, God, by the testimony of his mouth, is telling us tonight, he is bringing us out to a land of rich fulfillment. There's always a place that God is taking us. God's not static. He just doesn't sit us there in a pot and boil us to death. He's taking us through the valley of the shadow of death to the other side. So as we finish this evening, wherever this message catches you in life, remember that it's really not the place we are in life, it's the praise we give in life. That we praise the name of the Lord, the work of the Lord, the rule of the Lord, and the security of the Lord. Amen? All right, let's pray. So, Lord, we thank you for your word and the encouragement that you give us through your word. And tonight, Lord, we just want to pray for anybody here that is in a confusing place or a hard place or a place where they're just don't know what to do and don't know how to do it, and they need your help, Lord. I pray that these scriptures would have encouraged them tonight, and these scriptures are just as real today as they were at the time they were written. And you're writing your own psalms through our life now, Lord. And we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that you prepared beforehand that we would walk in them, Lord. And so, Lord, let us praise you because we know everything is going to work out better than okay. It's going to work out exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think because you are an awesome God and you are writing an awesome book through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, now we get to practice what we talked about tonight. So.